Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. Thanks for watching the program, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates. Mitch Moss along with Dustin Sweetelson. We're live downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy hour coming up, by the way, as they typically are. We'll get into something. I'm going to say something for the first time in 30 years in 15 minutes. And I firmly believe it's true.
We all support you, Mitch.
Okay. You ready for this? But you got to hold on. Jensen Lewis, bottom of the hour, his best bets today for Major League Baseball. And you're the same way in college football. You're going to, like Jensen, Matt Eumanns nicknamed him the machine gun.
Yeah.
And you're right there like as the Uzi.
Yeah, yeah. Just mine sometimes run out of steam, run out of bullets here.
Yours is like the Gatling gun at the end of that Predator scene where it's like no more. And they keep... Matt keeps...
It's like the movie War Dogs. I bought the shady Chinese Albanian bullets that don't quite work.
So you have a plenty to go over in college football at that time. Right now, we'll go over our bets that we like for NFL awards this upcoming season.
It's time to start talking yourself in and out of things. I think that's the biggest thing this time of year. This is where you can really get a really good number and sweat it out for the next season. Like a year ago at this time, Rams reported for camp. I already liked Matthew Stafford MVP. You know what happened? He went into that tent with the back injury. They had the van or whatever for him that he was laying in. I was like, you know what? I'm not buying this. I'm not buying this at all. I'll take 55-1. Thank you very much. And that helped pay for the entire football season.
55-1 on Matthew Stafford last year.
Because he was
hot damn, dude.
When there's blood in the streets, man, that's when you buy it, these monster numbers. So what we learned with Kalshi, with the LeBron James stuff a week ago when you were out, they don't know how to mark some of these things on their books at times. And I think they're just so quick to react to, well, there's a report his back is injured. They don't know how legit it was. I had an NFL player on last year at that time, Kirk Morrison. He said, you know what this sounds like to me? Matthew Stafford's 38, 39 years old. He doesn't want to do a training camp anymore. Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, good spot on by him. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go over a lot of these markets for NFL awards this year. We'll go over with either a best bet or the person who we think is going to win the award along with a long shot. The honors are all yours right now to begin here in the MVP.
Yeah, MVP, I wrote this up in the VSiN NFL betting guide. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy was my original case that I made. That is my number one bet there.
By the way, you made a great breakdown. Great case.
And Mike Evans is a big part of it. I think Mike Evans is, if you look at the history of where he goes, those quarterbacks always succeed immediately. Johnny Manziel at A&M, he's in the NFL for a while, eventually Tom Brady down to Tampa Bay, he extends his career, and then the last few years with Baker Mayfield. But if I'm going to go off of my Brock Purdy bet, the other guy I really, and this is a dangerous game, we've all been burnt by them at some point in our past, I might be all in on the Cincinnati Bengals, and more specifically Joe Burrow here. Do you realize that this is the only team in that division with continuity with a head coach returning? And the schedule, Mitch, the pass defenses the Bengals are about to face this season, they face one top five pass defense from a year ago. They faced three from the top 10 last year. One of those was Cleveland with Myles Garrett. I have a feeling the pass defense is going to be a little bit different. They face the 31st, 30th, 29th, 28th, and 27th. They also have to get off to a head start because they will fire Zach Taylor. Joe Burrow has become, with Brock Purdy, my favorite MVP case to make.
Okay, so he is the guy that I bet. I have a half a unit on him at plus 9. I really want a 10-1.
Yeah.
A minimum. I want a double digits on him. But as I realize this coming back from vacation, I'm like, okay, the 10-1s are gone. I'm like, I can't believe it. Now what do I do? Do I abort?
No.
I found a...
No.
Absolutely.
We go
Whatever
to term.
You do, do not abort.
We go no. to term. Not a political stance.
I found plus 950 on him. I'm like, that's close enough. I'll take plus 950 on Joe Burrow.
You know what I just do? I steal your guys' bit that you guys do. What day do you do the big parlay day? The pizza parlor?
Tomorrow.
Okay,
tomorrow.
Good. So what I'll do is I'll see Joe Burrow 950. I'll go to the UFC event and I'll take two guys who are minus $4 or greater and I'll add it to the ticket.
That's what I'm going to be like with the Rams this year.
That's
Rather
the
than
only
taking
way.
6-1 in the Super Bowl, I'll have to try to find like do some cross-sport parlays. But anyway, everything that you just said about Burrow makes the pass defenses they're playing this year super easy. By the way, part of the whole thing here is that I saw RotoWire; they had 10 bold predictions, and I'll get into some of these and other bets that I have as well on the season. One of which was Ja'Marr Chase sets every single wide receiver record, including the Triple Crown, yet again this year. So guess what? That's
going to
be Joe Burrow throwing him the football unless he gets hurt again.
No, let's also remember, they still have T. Higgins for some inexplicable reason when they should have been adding defenders instead of locking him up. And Isovas turned into a really good receiver when those two guys have been hurt in the past, plus the tight end position. I just think that they are going to be playing with such a chip on their shoulder early because they know the window's closing. Zach Taylor has to be on the hot seat this year. So I think you get a very inspired Bengals team, Burrow specifically.
Yeah, so he's a short shot that I like. More to this, by the way, if you go back 2 years ago, here's the whole key is, will Burrow play 15, 16, 17 games? Don't know. He's been injured 3 times in his career. So the last time he played a full season was 2 years ago. That season, he finished with, you know, the mainstream numbers. He almost had 5,000 yards passing, 43 touchdowns, 9 INTs. And on a non-playoff team that year, he finished 4th in the MVP voting. And I recall people saying that was the year Barkley had for the Eagles. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson battled it out near the top. And people were like, don't care. Burrow's the MVP. This are people saying this with the votes. So I think they're kind of like almost dying to give him the award if he stays healthy. The numbers are going to be there. My long shot bet,
give it to me,
that I have in pocket is Tyler Shuck. He's this year's Drake May, in my opinion. Second easiest schedule going into the entire year. I know it starts off brutal with a couple of very difficult opponents for the Saints. I loved how he played down the stretch. They added Tyson, top 10 wide receiver in the draft. Chris Olave is a monster, proved that last year. They added Achane from the Jaguars to help the backfield. Kellen Moore is a proven commodity as an offensive play caller. We'll find out more about him as a head coach in his second year. I think 100-1 on Shuck is a number. Well, I knew that I was going to take him if the number was right, and yeah. I can't believe he's available at 100-1, to be honest.
He's a starting quarterback in a division that's completely wide open.
100%.
I think that is a big element here. And the narrative of him putting it on his shoulders and lifting them to that point, I think that makes sense. I think there's something Kellen Moore saw in his arm ability, and it completely unlocked it his rookie year. I had him 60-1 for offensive rookie of the year I took during the draft. I never thought that ticket was going to be live. It was just situationally.
Sure.
But that's the same here. This bet is also situationally. He is the starting quarterback of a team that's invested at receiver, right? They got him another weapon to play with, an offensive-minded head coach with a defense that's probably taking steps back. That's a recipe for success for him to put up monster numbers. Now, my long shot is in the same division. I think everyone, I love and respect everyone here. Everyone has lost their mind talking about Tua leading the Falcons to the NFC South.
Yeah.
I've lost a lot of money believing Tua had something left.
I can't get there either.
That's why I think Baker Mayfield and the Bucs. Like, Todd Bowles is Todd Bowles. We understand that. It's another offensive coordinator. Baker's 50-1. Do we not remember that he was playing like an MVP to start the year last year before he got hurt and then played the rest of the season injured?
Dustin, we said several times on this show, whatever that was, after week six, week seven.
He's the MVP.
He should have been the MVP of the league at that time.
He was out of his mind. And I think some people are concerned, oh, well, there's a new offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, who comes over from the Falcons. I would say, can we make the case that Baker Mayfield deserves a little bit more love for how he created Liam Cohen and Dave Canales as well? Like, it's
goes
thing,
both ways.
Yeah, I think everyone went, well, Canales and Liam Cohen unlocked him. Hold on, they can't both unlock him. It kind of has to be one or the other. I think at 50-1, division's open. He's going to miss Mike Evans, but you and I both had Igbuka to win Rookie of the Year last year. And I always wonder, had Igbuka started slow and finished the way he started, I think he would have won the award over McMillan.
If you would have flipped the season that he had, because nobody, other than Shuck making a run late, nobody else was doing that last year.
McMillan was by default. I think they have weapons. Godwin's back for a full year. I still like what they have defensively, where they're going to be the more balanced team in the division. I like Baker 50-1.
So we're kind of on the same page here with Atlanta. The Saints are my team in that division. Like, I have their win total over. I have them to win the division. I can't argue with people who actually think the Falcons are going to be better to go over their win total.
I agree.
Right, there's a lot to like with this team.
If it's Penix.
That's where I'm at. Like, we don't know about Michael Penix at this level yet.
But I want to know.
So let's find out about him then, right? And why is it that Tua has to start ahead of him? If Penix can beat him out in camp, I'm going to be much higher in the Falcons than Tua, because I'm with you. I can't get there with anything Tua related.
I had Tua last year, 40-1 comeback player of the year. I believed. I am the last one off this sinking ship. I don't know how people all they've done is talk trash about Tua for years are now jumping on that it could work. Watch the tape. Not that I actually watch tape, but watch the highlights. The guy can't throw it 25 yards in the air. What is he? Other than dumping it off to Bijan Robinson, I don't know how he picks up first downs legitimately. He's that lost. I don't see. I think that division's going to be fascinating, though. I think Carolina comes back. I think it's the two teams we just mentioned, Tampa Bay and New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good line, by the way. You talk to a lot of people who watch film.
Yeah.
So you got that going for
you. Yeah. I watch film. A lot of people go, I watch film. You mean you pulled up the YouTube, the All 22?
Yeah. The Tua stuff, it's alarming that he can never throw. No chances taken down the field.
He shouldn't be allowed to play anymore.
No, it's all dink and dunk.
No, he shouldn't be. Someone needs to protect him from himself. It's crazy. Hey, if you're betting at Circus Sportsbook for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with crypto using Burrow Pay. And no Burrow Pay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way that Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurraPay.com, BurraPay.com, to learn more. Take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino. BurraPay transaction fees waived as part of campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply.
By the way, I made these bets before I noticed the tweet. It was sent out today from RotoWire, their 10 bold predictions. One of those predictions on Shuck was that, well, he's predicted to finish inside the top 12 as a fantasy quarterback. Their bold prediction is he finishes number one overall.
Oh, wow.
As QB1.
Wow, that is bold. But I'm here for it. I want to ask you later on in the show about offensive player of the year. Someone's going to have to take that market away from me. I like way too much. I like too many long shots in offensive player of the year.
Here's the deal. We'll expand on that coming up next. Because you're right. I was going through the numbers like over the weekend. I'm like, I like this guy. I like that guy.
And we're split at the top of the board, you and I.
We are. And so the guy that I actually love the most in this market, I can't bet. There's a reason why.
Okay.
That I can't bet him. We'll find out if you agree coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in. Mitch Moss, Dustin Sweetelson, live downtown Vegas. Circa Resort Casino is your spot. We spent the previous segment going over bets that we like to win the NFL MVP, our best bet, and then a long shot. We'll continue here with Offensive Player of the Year. I'll tell you my guy that I could not be more in love with this year, but I can't bet him. There's a specific reason in a minute. Who is your best bet to win Offensive Player of the Year this year?
Oh, I hate it because it's top of the board. I don't like doing it. I don't like tying my money up for so long. But I was a year ahead with Bijan Robinson a year ago. I had him 16-1. He got off to a great start. And I'm so annoyed at myself. What I've started doing, Mitch, with a lot of these futures, I bet two bets. One is the season-long bet. One is half the unit if they get off to a good start and cashing out for more money and making money on it. I could have paid for that and several other futures early in the year if I just would have cashed out the second Bijan. Boy, you know what? I'm letting it ride. I'm going all in on him. And I think at 8.5-1, when you look at the offense right now, they are so dependent on him being that dude. But Stefanski's got a track record of having a guy like this and using him. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt together in 2020. Chubb had 1,067 and 12 touchdowns. Hunt had 841 and 11 total touchdowns, also had 300 receiving. The next year, Hunt was gone. Chubb, almost 1,300 on the ground, 8 touchdowns. The year after that, 1,500 yards, 13 touchdowns. Last few years in Cleveland, they never run game. They're always losing. He got that from Nick Chubb, and I like Nick Chubb. He is not the dynamic threat in space that Bijan Robinson is here. Plus, you have no Tyler Algier vulturing the touchdowns. You need him to be like Saquon in 24. You need him to be like CMC in 2023. But Bijan Robinson had 1,400 rushing, 820 receiving yards last year, 11 touchdowns. That's more rushing yards than CMC, almost three times the receiving yards that Barkley had. I think he's going to be such a focal point for Stefanski to hit the ground running this year, especially with the short stuff. I think the receiving yards are going to be similar, and if he can just build on the rushing, which there's a track record with Chubb in the past in this system, I love Bijan Robinson 8.5-1, and I hate betting that high up on the board.
So I think the two players here at the very top are kind of splitting hairs with, right? Because I'm with you. Like, how if you ever just watch Bijan Robinson play, you're like, this, he was born to play running back.
Yeah.
He was so good, right? And this year with that schedule, everything you just said, it's lining up for him to obviously have another huge year. My guy is the short shot.
I mean, it's really hard not to make that case.
So, but I can't possibly, I saw Paul Charchian, a longtime friend of the show, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, at an event. We were watching game 6 of the Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup playoffs out here, whenever that was, last month, when they lost that game. And so we were going over like guys to look at this year, and his first guy that he brought up is Jahmyr Gibbs. And I've been high on the Lions ever since last year ended. Sure. Easiest schedule in the league. There's no more David Montgomery. There's a ton of like about this guy. Like, this is going to be his career year. That's basically what he said. He said, is Jahmyr Gibbs in for a 2,500-yard year this season? All-purpose yardage, right? So, and I'm like, he probably is, and he has to be number one, I think, off of fantasy draft boards. The problem is I can't bet a guy at plus 650 to win this award. I won't do it.
I know.
But last year, with David Montgomery, 1,223 yards rushing and 13 touchdowns. He added 5 touchdowns along with 77 catches on 94 targets. Montgomery's gone. The year before that, Gibbs had 16 touchdowns on the ground. He's going to be good. If he stays healthy, he's good for 20 touchdowns this year.
The touchdowns should be absurd. The receiving yards are always there. I can't disagree with betting him. The only reason why I chose Bijan over Gibbs is, one, is the price difference, right? It's a $2 difference. I know it doesn't sound like much, but you're talking about if they miss 2 games, they can't win this award.
Yeah.
You pull your hamstring, you're out for a month, it's dead. But part of me thinks, and this is the dumbest thing to do, I want to be clear about this before I say it, I want to bet just Gibbs and Robinson, not bet anyone else in the market, and hope that, you know, you win Gibbs and ends up being a plus 550. You bet Robinson ends up being plus 750, because it's one of the situations for both of them are juicy this year.
I know. Usually, before the season starts, I will take a peek at MVP numbers for the guys at the very top of the board, right? For running back positions only. Yeah. And then you have to decide, well, I think this is the year for player X, where it's going to be a career year and they're going to win a ton of games. It could be in the mix, right? The problem with this is, even though running backs never win the award, you have to go back to 2012 with Adrian Peterson. Books have adjusted the prices on these running backs. A couple years ago, I was absolutely dead set that Jonathan Taylor was going to break out. It's actually more than a couple years ago. I had him at 500-1 to be the NFL MVP. December rolls around. The Colts go to Buffalo. They steamroll them. NFL media is saying Jonathan Taylor's the MVP of the league. He didn't win. The year after that, Derrick Henry had 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns. I had him 500-1. Had no chance of winning the award.
Yeah.
CMC's first year with the 49ers, the number was 200-1. He put up those crazy...
The full year, right?
The full year.
Yeah, I think I had 150, something like that,
I had
too.
200 on him. Like an MVP, had no chance to win the award.
Yeah.
This year, my guy is Jahmyr Gibbs, who could actually get in the MVP mix. 120-1 is the best number I can find on
him.
So look at that.
Yeah, they're really scared of getting beat by that, which is weird because
they never
it's
win.
So unlikely.
Yeah.
You could just be taking, you know, $1,000,000, $20, $30, $50 bets from people if you just post a big fat number.
Sure.
So I don't understand the fear there. For the Lions, though, the thing about Gibbs that could be crazy is the start they get off to before the bye. New Orleans 19th against the run last year. At Buffalo week 2, well, Buffalo was 28th. Then you have the Jets, who were 29th a year ago. And then it's Arizona. They're going to be up by 2 scores in the third quarter. Gibbs is going to be running wild. Your only fear is that he gets pulled from the game for fear of an injury. But there's a world where Gibbs becomes an odds-on favorite before they hit their bye in week 6.
Well, and then I'll be hating life because I won't have a piece of him at plus 650.
I know.
Not going to happen.
But I think there's some fun ones deep down the board. I mean, we talked about Joe Burrow earlier. What if Joe Burrow puts up monster numbers, but someone else is having MVP year? Joe Burrow, Offensive Player of the Year? That's something worth considering here?
Or if
he has the year we think he's going to have where it's historic, he wins both awards?
The last time a quarterback won Offensive Player of the Year was 2018. Mahomes won both. His first full year as a starter, he won the MVP and Offensive Player of the Year.
Didn't we have a year where we split them or no? I thought there was a year where one MVP, one Offensive Player. Maybe it's been a while since that happened.
Well, Cam Newton and Matt Ryan went back-to-back. I think they were also MVPs that year.
Okay.
2015, 2016. Peyton Manning won in 2013. Peyton Manning won Offensive Player of the Year. Think about how that award has changed, because now typically you have to have a quarterback to go against your Burrow point here typically a guy at quarterback is going to have to like run for a lot, I would think, to be offensive player of the year nowadays.
Yeah, or just be on a mediocre team and have crazy touchdowns. That's probably it. Mediocre team with crazy touchdowns. That's how I was viewing it. In terms of bombs, what's your favorite bomb in this market?
So I have too many. And I have so
problem.
Here's the thing. I have to decide, and you know, would love some help from the audience as well. At VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Dustin Swielsen on X. I'm between Luther Burden at 100-1 for the Bears, Emeka Egbuka, the aforementioned Emeka Egbuka,
with the
Buccaneers, who I was in love with last year. Here, let me give you another bold prediction from RotoWire on Egbuka. Finishes as a top 7 wide receiver this year in fantasy. Zach Robinson's Z wide receiver role was highlighted as an ideal fit for him.
And he's London a year ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going to be year.
He'll be Tampa Bay's alpha wide receiver. Here's the problem. I like a couple of tight ends, but a tight end has never won the award.
Yeah, I'll give you mine. Bauer 70-1 tight end. And it's my first note is tight ends never won the award, but he actually has a quarterback for once. And he's the number one receiver. I don't care that they brought in Jordan Addison or whoever they brought in from. Yeah. It wasn't Addison.
It was the other guy.
It was the Naylor, Jalen Naylor.
There you go.
The worst one from Minnesota.
The worst of the batch.
It makes my case that much greater. Kubiak, creative offensive mind. Is there a world where he treats Brock Bowers the way he treated JSN a year ago, where it's just, you're my move the sticks. I'm feeding you 8, 10, 12 times a game. He can also stretch the field for a tight end. Cousins is such a huge upgrade at quarterback. Going back through the years, you know, he was pretty good with Pitts a year ago when he went back into the starting lineup. That helped get Pitts paid. So I just think there's a scenario where he's in the mix. I just don't know if he ultimately wins it, because I brought this up to a fantasy guy a few weeks ago, and he said, I get where you're coming from, but wouldn't Trey McBride have won the award if any tight end was going to win the award or be closer to winning the award than he was a year ago? He had a historic tight end season.
That's right. So one more piece of resistance for me on this would be, can a player win it on a team that goes, let's say the Raiders win 7 games?
That's the problem.
Do they, right?
But
I'm looking back right now at the list. It's all teams that won, it looks like, 11, 12, 13 games.
But if they're losing, that means a lot more throwing from behind, which also means padding some of these stats, and people at the end of the year could just go, we've never seen a tight end put up numbers like this ever in our lives. So that's why I'm considering that. There's a few others that I like in this. I think this market is so much more interesting. Like, Kelly Bidlin brought up to me, A.J. Brown 35-1. I think that makes sense.
Well, I want to bet like 30 guys.
I know. So then we can't bet Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs.
No, God,
that.
No, absolutely not.
Winner's Local Proxy VSIN. They're giving away 2 incredible prize packages that will put 2 lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest for free. 1 winner, you're going to get a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor. Just pick a winner each week and advance. Another will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. That is picking games against the spread. Both winners also receive a full season of Winner Circle Proxy Service, a VSiN Studio Tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd for your chance to win. Visit WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN, WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSIN.
Up next, Major League Baseball, Jensen Lewis on the program. How should we approach the NL MVP market? Is Ohtani still winning the award if he doesn't pitch again this regular season? Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get into a little Heisman Trophy talk and kick around the list of teams we think can actually win the national title this year in college football. I think my list of teams will be shorter than D. Sweezy's here.
Yeah, I like to live in a world where anything's possible, but where's that really gotten me in life? Not that far. Next to you is kind of the high point.
Chuckles and Knucklehead here, sitting here live in Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Let's go to the Progressive Guest Line, get some best bets tonight in Major League Baseball. Jensen Lewis joins the program now, VSiN by the books, weekday mornings at 7 a.m. Hey, Jay Lou, we appreciate the time as always. We'll get into your best bets on tonight's card coming up in a minute. We started the show today talking a little National League MVP. Like, how open do you think this thing is? Like, are we living in a dream world where we think somebody other than Ohtani can win it if he doesn't pitch again this year?
Yeah, great to be with you boys, and always great to chop it up. I think you're on to it there, Mitch, that I am still very scared of the word indefinitely that Dave Roberts has used about Ohtani getting back on a mound, let alone getting back into a big league game. So I think you're to September at the earliest, if then. That's pretty significant. And so I do think we live in a world where this thing now becomes wide open. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mitch. I feel like you and Dustin earlier, I was listening to you guys coming home, and I think you have a long ticket on PCA, which I think is extremely live right now. And then James Wood and CJ Abrams, a lot is going to be predicated on where the Nationals are headed into September. You guys know as well as I do, Narrative Street is huge when it comes to these things. As long as CJ Abrams doesn't get traded, sounds like he's not going to. I think he's 1B with James Wood being 1A. I would lean to a James Wood ticket right now before CJ Abrams, just knowing James Wood, guys, is going to score 100 runs before the month of August gets here, which is just insane to think about. So very live if you have the long PCA ticket in pocket. And I would be a little weary of Ohtani, knowing that they're not going to push him with that knee inflammation because he's so important from a designated hitter position.
Jay Lou, you like to live dangerously like we do. Mitch sent me a note before the show, and I thought it was right in line with the thinking I had preseason, which I had Paul Skeens to win the MVP at 40 to 1, 100 to 1, something like that. Jacob Mizorowski is 125 to 1 right now. Do you think the numbers and the narrative is strong enough where if Ohtani falls back and maybe PCA doesn't finish that strong, could we build up a case for Mizorowski to do what Verlander and Kershaw have done recently and win both the Cy Young and MVP?
I like where your head's at, Dustin. My fear would be is that Milwaukee is really going to limit his innings down the stretch here. And you've seen it already play out that if he goes longer than five innings, I'll be kind of shocked down the stretch here. He's at 120 right now. Christopher Sanchez is at 138.2. And I don't think he's going to get to, you know, that innings threshold that some of the other contenders will. I am very anxious to see where Chris Sale ends up at the end of this. I think he's got the chance to go on a dominant run. But as far as where you are from an MVP perspective, boy, I think it remains a long shot there. I would rather invest looking at CJ before I would even take a shot on Mizorowski, just knowing that Milwaukee it's been an open secret. They want to absolutely make sure that Miz is healthy into the end of the season and then be able to kind of unleash him and not worry about the innings threshold when they get to October.
Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Jensen Lewis, you can listen to him and Dave Ross. Watch them as well, YouTube TV and beyond, every single morning at 7 o'clock Eastern with VSiN by the books. Your best bets for tonight. Let's get into a couple of plays that you have all labeled your 2.5 unit plays. We'll begin Braves-Mets total here, about 8.5. Perez goes against Thornton, the scheduled starters here tonight. How do you want to attack this one?
Yeah, we'll play an over 8.5 here, Mitch. And a couple of things to keep in mind here. Braves have scored 60 runs in 10 games since the All-Star break. That is fourth most in Major League Baseball. You get Ronald Acuna Jr. back tonight. That'll be a nice jolt to the top of the lineup. Braves are 22-17-2 to the over as a road favorite, which they will be at least in some places tonight. The reason why I also like some offense from both sides, Martin Perez for the Braves tonight, 5.71 ERA in his last four starts, but it's 13 walks also in 17 1/3. So plenty of traffic, even without Juan Soto on the IL here for the Mets. I got to tell you, I know this is kind of zigging where people are zagging. Zach Thornton's been unbelievable. Yeah. The young left-hander here for the Braves. Mets, though, still 11-7-2 to the over as a home dog in some spots. So, again, shop around on it. But just looking earlier this morning, guys, situationally, feel that the way the Braves are swinging it, plus getting Acuna back, and then also knowing that Martin Perez has really allowed a lot of traffic here the last 3 to 4 times out, like the over 8.5 if you can find it tonight.
Martin Perez, by the way, fellas, that's my guy I'm never on the right side of. If I bet on him, he stinks. If I bet against him, he's Cy Young. Kind of like Iowa football, I'm just never on the right side. All right, next game for you here, Jay Lou. Diamondbacks and Pirates, Merrill Kelly, Mitch Keller, probably 2-3 years ago. That was an elite pitching matchup. Plus 102 Arizona on the road. Keller minus 123 with the Buccos at home. 9.5 the total. What do you want to do?
Yeah, so this morning, guys, I had taken a unit on the under, and then I cashed out of it just kind of seeing where some of the other trends were going here. I'm going to go play the over 8.5 now. It is a little bit juiced in the price that I got at $1.50, but again, kind of back to the same refrain. Guys, the Pirates best in baseball as a home favorite to the over, 25-6 And Mitch Keller, a 6.75 ERA over his last nine starts with a field independent pitching of over 5.6, which is ridiculously high. Parlay that with Arizona, 63 runs scored in 10 games since the All-Star break. That is second most in Major League Baseball to only the Washington Nationals. I'm not going to get in the way of it. I thought I might get cute a little bit and see, you know, where, you know, Merrill Kelly and Mitch Keller have been going. I liked a little bit more of Merrill Kelly, but man, this Pirate offense might be able to find a way to punch through. And I think Arizona takes advantage of Keller being up in the zone.
Here's another game too, by the way. And I'm trying to think, like, the whole national narrative, like, let's say that Chase Burns for the Reds finishes some crazy, let's say he's like 20-1. He's 12-1 on the year a sub-2.5 ERA. It's going to be the least talked about guy with 20 wins that I can ever remember in my entire life. And it never happens anymore for the most part. And he's taking on a Guardians team tonight. And the Reds are big favorites, obviously. He's also, I think he's only lost one first five this entire year, Chase Burns. So, J-Lew, what's your play here on this game?
Let's start with the Burns angle because it is a strong one here, Mitch. Seven straight home starts where he's allowed three runs or fewer. You can go all the way back to April 16th when that streak started. Reds have been a paltry offense, though, here as of late. 37 runs since the All-Star break. That's 19th in Major League Baseball. And usually you see the uptick at Great American Ballpark. But Slade Ciccone going for the Guardians here in the battle for the the battle for the Ohio Cup. Seven straight road starts where he has actually allowed three runs or fewer. That streak is since May 7th. And for whatever reason, guys, Ciccone can get you into a little bit of a cluster here as a hitter where you should see it well, and then all of a sudden it's by you. It's a deceptive fastball and sinker. And as long as he has some decent breaking stuff tonight, you know, the injury to Spencer Steer is going to be a problem for the Reds. They have, outside of Elly De La Cruz, there has not been a lot to write home about with this offense. So I'm going to err on the side of both these pitchers kind of continue their trends, both home and road. And then also a couple of offenses that since the second half has started, guys, has really lacked a lot of production.
We were kicking around this play as well, so we like where your head's at. Philadelphia laying 1.5 on the road at Miami. The Marlins can't get out of their own way. Wheeler feels like he's got a chip on his shoulder. -1.5 now is -113 on the road with the Phils. Total 7.5. They're -$2 on the money line, +160 with the Fish. Talk to me about the process with the Phillies.
Man, you're right, Dustin. He is absolutely PO'd for the snub at the All-Star break, and that is a dangerous animal to try and wrangle. This is a great spot situationally. Of course, the Marlins on that historic 12-game losing streak, they're averaging only 2.5 runs scored during that, and three runs or fewer scored in 10 of their last 12 overall. I would say that Wheeler, too, great spot. And I think, Dustin, I heard you talk about wanting to ladder the strikeouts. I'm all for that. He's had three straight starts now, allowing two runs or fewer, and the Phillies average almost five runs of support in the games that he has started since he's come off the injury list. I'm not getting in front of it. I don't think anything changes here tonight. Phillies with a big outburst in Sunday Night Baseball. I think it carries over to South Beach tonight.
All right, same thing with the Brewers tonight. They cover this game by margin, win by two runs or more at the Giants.
Yeah, Giants have been bad. This is just a situational spot, Mitch, where we're getting a pitching mismatch. Tyler Mahle, who gets it for the Giants tonight, almost a 5 ERA in his last four starts. Five innings or fewer, two in three of those last four. And then Brandon Sproat, five straight starts allowing two runs or fewer. He's at a 2.74 ERA. Just love the mismatch here. And this Brewers offense, guys, well-oiled machine. They can beat you in so many different ways. Love them to continue those good vibes out there in the Bay Area.
Very good. Pleasure as always, Jensen. We appreciate it. Best of luck tonight.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
There you go. Jensen Lewis on the Progressive Guest Line, 7 a.m. every day, right here, Monday through Friday, with Dave Ross, VSiN by the books.
You think I passed Paulie for most papers used on the network on the desk at one time?
You might be there.
I was trying to organize during the break, and I realized Paul's consolidated now that he actually uses a computer. When I produced you guys, Paul was on his phone the entire show.
Yeah, and I think that he has pushed like 30 papers on the desk at one time.
I'm pretty close right now.
You're getting there. Dial it back a little bit there, pal. College football up next. You love betting the Heisman Trophy.
Love it.
Okay, I feel like there is one player I need as a FOMO bet this year. Is it a wise investment or burning money? I'll ask D. Sweezy next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
I'll tell you the truth here about betting the Heisman Trophy. I used to love betting this award not that many years ago. But to me, with how instability now reigns in college football, and it's tough to, like, you can't just look at a team ever again and say, oh, my God, look at that. They have 19 sophomores who contributed this year and 14 juniors who are all going to be back, and this quarterback has three. That doesn't happen anymore. So it's like you got to play this puzzle and try to put the pieces together of where, okay, I think this quarterback with all these brand new pieces is going to be in for an unbelievable year. And I just think, to me, it's too much homework now. And I don't enjoy it, to be honest.
Let me add to it. It's the worst voter base that you have to handicap because I think it's the dumbest. And I don't mean that like in a mean way. I just mean there are people who have Heisman votes who don't watch games.
That's
or
very
just
true.
Watch one team. If you go look on social media, I do this on X. Now they made it a little harder to search for it. But if you search Heisman voter, there will be people's profiles who pop up that still have Heisman votes that have not covered college football for years, but they still somehow are in the association to vote for this award. I don't understand. Like, when I worked on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Chris Mad Dog Russo is my idol in this business. I grew up wanting to be him.
Best of all time.
He voted for the award. He barely watched the games on Saturday. It should be the people who are diehard who know the sport in and out. And that's why you have to really think about who they're going to look at and who they're going to consider, because the days of a Colt Brennan, rest in peace, being invited to the ceremony feel like they're gone. That little underdog that puts up monster numbers, that, you know what, he deserves the acknowledgement. And then once that happens, you can do something in the market if you have a big number on him.
Genty couldn't win a couple years ago.
It's crazy, man. I mean, we go back in time too. There's so many misses. Like, Ndamukong Suh probably should have won the year. I can't remember who won that year.
McCaffrey didn't win.
That's right.
That's all you need to know.
I think Toby Gerhart got closer than McCaffrey.
I think you might be right. Yeah. So anyway, there is one bet that I want to make. I think it's a FOMO bet. But before I ask you who that is, or tell you who that is, and see if I have your permission to make a bet on him. So how do you? To me, it's also like throwing darts a little bit here and trying to figure out like which quarterback do I really want to land on. And so you can't, this goes back to our offensive player of the year discussion in the NFL. You're not taking too many guys near the top of the list. That's not very wise. So how do you do it here? How do you break this down?
I love CJ Carr and I love Notre Dame this year. And I am such a big Notre Dame hater. You can't bet him at 7-1. He might beat you. That's fine. If he beats me at 7-1, tip your hat, move on. Yeah. Like, I just can't tie up my money for that. Arch Manning at 7.5-1 is so mean and cruel to Arch Manning and his future. I know a lot of people saw something down the stretch from him a year ago, Mitch.
Tons of film people saying he would be the number one pick in the draft.
Sure, good luck. God bless. I'm sorry. I'm sure there's talent there. I just don't think it warrants being number two on this board. To me, this list begins at 10-1 with Dante Moore, who I had last year at 25-1. And after the Penn State win, I was already celebrating cashing that ticket. Long season to go. My first bet in this market was the guy right after him. And Circa's the only spot that has the number this long. Darian Mensah. Miami Hurricanes, 16-1. He's 11-1, 12-1 everywhere else. But a couple reasons I got here. We've reached a point with the transfer portal where I need to know which programs are able to acclimate new guys in well. Who has success winning right away with new pieces, and they have a system for it. Miami's proven that. Back-to-back years, especially with quarterbacks. Cam Ward came over from Washington State. He was the best quarterback in the portal. No one saw him being a number one pick. Thrived in this offense. Number one pick with the Titans now. Carson Beck got them all the way to a national title game. Okay? That's better than what he did with Georgia. Now you enter Mensah, who has a ton of experience. He played at Tulane as a freshman, had 2,700 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. At Duke, led them to the title game in the ACC. 67% completion rate, 3,900 yards, 34 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He has Shannon Dawson as his OC, who should probably be a head coach somewhere. But he's so good in this system in Miami. They've been able to retain him for another season. I think that there's a chance Mensah puts up huge numbers. You also factor in Tony returns on the outside, who's going to be better, but he's also a receiver who takes short passes a long way. So that's risk-free throws where the receiver's doing all the work. Barkate, his top receiver, comes from Duke, who was originally at Harvard. They have chemistry. He put up monster numbers a year ago, plus a transfer from West Virginia, a transfer from South Carolina, in a system that just gets guys on the same page. They're going to win the ACC. They're one of two teams that are odds-on favorite to win their league right now. They're a playoff team. To me, everything says Mensah. On a Miami team where the defense takes a step back and probably needs a few more points, could have a better season than Beck and Ward did.
So you mentioned my FOMO guy, and it's Malachi Toney.
I know.
The problem is, I feel like it's so obvious because he was the guy who had all the steam last year.
Yeah.
And people, I can recall them saying, I can't wait to get the Heisman odds for next year to bet on Malachi Toney, because you figure like he is such a complete stud and you can use him 100 different ways if you would like. He's 38-1, the biggest number on the board. And I'm sure some people are listening right now saying, yeah, Mitch, I bet him a long time ago at a much higher number.
I'm sure.
Sure. But I wasn't going to like lock up my money on the Heisman Trophy all the way back in February. 35-38-1 in Malachi Toney. This is typically, an award that goes to a quarterback. However, in recent years, we saw Devontae Smith get it with Alabama, and then Travis Hunter, the two-way player, take it down for Colorado a couple years ago. What do you make of Toney?
Okay, I love Toney. I think you need major special teams production. Mm-hmm. You need some kick return. You need Devin Hester type stuff from him.
You need more than just a receiver.
Yeah, because here's the problem. The quarterback position's never been better in college football. Everyone's going to complain about the NIL and transfer portal.
Right.
You know what it's done? It's gotten us elite quarterback play because guys aren't forcing themselves into the league to be third round picks. They're saying, why would I do that? I can make more money, play out my senior season, and play in a system that makes me look better to potentially go in the second round or first round if things go right. You have so many quarterbacks with so much experience in incredible situations. It is hard to look away. And you know me, I like to make a case for these guys off the grid. But to me, you have so many elite quarterbacks. Tony's going to have to be so much better, and they're all going to have to be average or take votes away from each other for him to really be in the mix.
All right, you recently talked about this with Tim Murray, by the way, on the College Football Betting Podcast here, which is available now. Murray does it once a week, multiple times a week, actually. And you were talking about what the Heisman and your bets on this. By the way, when was the first Heisman bet that you made? Do you remember?
Like 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago on Mensa.
He went Mensa. How does it look beyond him then?
Okay. My other one I love, and I know Massaro loves this as well, Bear Bachmeyer at BYU. I don't really
understand. He's got some monster tickets on him.
Yeah, he's down to 50-60-1. I still like it there, man. That kid was thrown into the fire a year ago.
Yeah.
And he also has the mobility. He's going to call his own number. I'm not calling him Tim Tebow, but it's got Tebow vibes to me. Just kind of the attitude, the dropping his shoulder at the goal line to try and get in the end zone. And I think BYU has a chance to win that league. I think Texas Tech is a tad bit overrated as a favorite to win the Big 12 at -105-ish. I think BYU has a case, and if they win the league and he has the season I think he's capable of having with the touchdowns being scored and a high-octane league with a lot of offense, I think he makes sense. And then here's the bomb that I like, and this goes against conventional wisdom because I don't think the team's going to be good, but I do think the player, the system, the fit, the new location, he could put up such buku stats that he jumps off the page. That's Drew Mestemaker going over to Oklahoma State. He's 72-1. He goes with his head coach, doesn't have to learn his system, bring over a ton of weapons in the portal at receiver. Expectations are so low, you just feel like they might like knock off someone they shouldn't early, and that could put his name on the map.
He'll need 10 wins, probably.
I don't know. I don't think he can get there. I think the win total is 5.5.
Yeah,
it's pretty low.
They're going to really have to like soar past expectations.
I'm going to need like a historic touchdown year from Mestemaker, which based on what he did at North Texas, it's not likely. He's 72-1, but I just want a piece of him in case it happens.
Okay. Is that your current list then right now?
That's where I'm at. So the other names I'm considering, I want to throw your way. The one that I know is going to lose, but I'm going to bet anyway, is Avery Johnson at 125.
Don't bet him. Do not bet Avery Johnson. That cannot be a winning ticket.
The other one that's going to break my heart that's not going to win is John Mateer at 25-1.
He can win.
I love him. I think people are forgetting he was the Heisman and the potential number one pick in the draft till he hurt
hurt
himself. And then he came back too early for the Red River, and he was not right the rest of the way. Also considering Marcel Reed at 35-1, I think the number is a little bit long, but he lost his OC in Colin Klein. The two at the top that would hurt my Mensa case that maybe have better chances, Dante Moore at Oregon, because he has Evan Stewart coming back, Dakarian Moore, a UAB transfer, but he has a new OC in Eugene, but Trinidad Chambliss at 13-1.
See, that's the guy that I can't ignore.
He lost weapons is my concern. I don't know if I trust Pete Golding, but
their schedule's a little brutal, too.
It is, but Chambliss's stats are crazy last year.
Okay, if you just wiped away, like, everybody knew that this kid's been around college forever. He's, like, 26 years old. If you didn't know that and you watched him play last year, would you not say he was the best player in college football and probably the number one pick overall in the draft?
You would say it's the closest thing you've seen to Mike Vick with the presence, with the ball in his hands, deciding to run or throw. Like, it's...
He blew me away last year.
But can he recapture? Remember, his number one receiver's on the Niners. He lost his tight end to the draft. He lost his OC in Charlie Weiss Jr. and Lane Kiffin.
There's a lot there. To your point of making, it's kind of like dart throws to me. You can make the case for a bunch of the other guys who we never even brought up right there. Maeva at USC.
Well, and I can't stand Ohio State, but Julian Sayin. I mean, there's everything I just said leads me to believe Julian Sayin's winning this award.
And up next, we'll kick around players we bet to win awards in the NFL and who is the longest shot that can win an NFL division. That's next here on VSiN.